In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's Mass is being offered for the most lost souls, and in particular, we're offering prayers today for one priest who called me this morning who said he's in the midst of great attack, and so the extra prayers that are added for today's Mass are for his intentions against bad thoughts, temptations, defense against the enemy, all those things. Now for the lesson, in the vernacular. The lesson comes from the Book of Wisdom. Then shall the just stand with great constancy against those that have afflicted them and taken away their labors. These, seeing it, shall be troubled with terrible fear, and shall be amazed at the suddenness of their unexpected salvation, saying within themselves, repenting and groaning for anguish of spirit, these are they whom we had some time in derision for a perishable reproach. We fools esteem their life as madness, and their end without honor. Behold, now they are numbered among the children of God, and their lot is among the saints. You may be seated, or please stand for the continuation of the Holy Gospel. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he will take away, and every one that beareth good fruit, he will purge it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean by reason of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit unless itself abide in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same shall bear much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And if one abide not in me, he shall be cast forth as a branch, and shall wither. And they shall gather him up, and cast him into the fire, and he burneth. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever it is that you will, and it shall be done unto you. Thus concludes the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John. You may be seated. Today we are few who are able to be here at this Mass today, but that doesn't mean that it's anything less than normal what God is doing. There are so many angels and saints who are gathered around us, who are here within this church, just as as Padre Pio spoke about. They would marvel at how many people would be present for his Masses, and he would charge them sternly and say, you have no idea how many people are here at Mass. For you, if you could see how the rafters are full with all the angels and saints who are here present at the Mass, then you would truly marvel. Something to think about anytime we're at a Mass that doesn't seem like there's so many people present, or we feel like we're alone, even as we're watching through a live stream, seeking to make a spiritual communion and get some graces added to us in this particular way. Today we celebrate the feast of St. John at the Latin Gate. It's a beautiful feast that what it really depicts is the martyrdom of St. John, the Apostle St. John, the Beloved. You may know from his life that you say, well, Father, look, he wasn't martyred. Why are you wearing red? He's the one who died on the Isle of Patmos in exile. That is true. But as we've covered many times going through the lives of the saints, the Church honors many as martyrs, even though they didn't die a martyr's death, because they lived so radically and were indeed tortured unto something that should have killed them. But the Lord, through his own miraculous powers, preserved them from dying the martyr's death in that particular way. And so the same with St. John. That's also a reason why we wear red today and pray the prayers of prayers focusing on his act of martyrdom, though God preserved him from it. So how did it go? St. John the Apostle, around the year 95 AD, spent some time, and he escaped the persecution of Nero, which had claimed the lives of so many of his confriars, the other apostles, or the other 12 who our Lord had sent out and given the ministry of reconciliation that he had given. Well, He was one who had survived through all of that, and so one who was crueler after him in Domitian sought not to allow him to have that have a life without being persecuted and being destroyed. This old man who was out there in Asia Minor, who was there preaching about this man who he believed to be God, a Jew who was an apostate Jew, as it were. And so he sought to bring him and to end his life and thus satisfy some of the movements of the Jews who were there, and also himself see that he was upholding his sense of justice. And so bringing him out there outside the Latin gate, well, let me read from you exactly what I wanted to, because that's what's covered here in the life of in his life, which is given to us by the abbot Dom Guéranger. This is what he says about that. He says, "But the martyrdom of such an apostle called for the scene worthy to the event. Asia Minor, which zeal he had evangelized, has not been sufficiently inglorious land for such a combat. Rome, neither Peter had transferred his chair, and where he died on his cross, and where Paul had bowed down his venerable head beneath the sword, Rome alone deserved the honor of seeing the beloved disciple march onto martyrdom. With that dignity and sweetness, which are the characteristics of this veteran of the Apostolic College, he went forward." Domitian was the emperor and a tyrant over Rome and of the whole world. Whether it were that John undertook on this journey of his own free choice, from which he wished to visit the mother church in Rome, or that he was led thither bound and chained in obedience to an imperial edict, John, the august founder of the seven churches of Asia Minor, appeared before the tribunal of pagan Rome. He was convicted of having propagated in a vast province of the empire the worship of a Jew who had been crucified under Pontius Pilate. He was a superstitious and rebellious man, and it was time to be rid of his presence in Asia. He was therefore sentenced to an ignominious and cruel death that had somehow escaped Nero's power, but it should not elude the vengeance of the Caesar Domitian. A huge cauldron, therefore, was placed before him of burning oil prepared in front of the Latin gate. The sentence orders that the preacher of Christ be plunged into this bath. The hour is come for the second son of Salome to partake of his master's chalice. John's heart leaps with joy at the thought that he, the most dear to our blessed Lord Jesus, and yet the only apostle that had not suffered that death for him, is at last permitted to give him the earnest of his love. After cruelly being scourged, the executioners seize the man and throw him into the cauldron, but lo, the boiling liquid has lost all of its heat. The apostle feels no scalding, and on the contrary, when they take him out again, he feels all the vigor of his youthful years restored unto him. The praetor's cruelty is foiled. Saint John the martyr, in his desire, is to be left to the church for some years longer, though they be few. An imperial decree banishes him to the rugged isle of Patmos, where he reveals to him the future of the church and even the end of time. The abbot here is referring to his writings, which he wrote to the churches, and as well the book of the Apocalypse, which concludes the New Testament. Continuing on. "The Church of Rome, which counts among her most glorious memories the abode and martyrdom of this Saint John, has marked it with a basilica on the spot where the apostle bore noble testimony to the Christian faith. This basilica stands near the Latin gate and gives the title to one of its cardinals." So what is our Lord doing in this? What are we celebrating today? We're celebrating the thing that should have taken St. John's life so that he could have been like all the other apostles who were there. But there being boiled in oil, he totally survived. And instead of it being a thing that harmed him, what it actually did was give him greater vigor and strength. And we know this by such a way that he lived unto, I believe it was the year 120. So in the year 120 is when he met his end. I believe that's what it is. And so here being, he lived for what? 25 years after being boiled in oil, because it restored youth to him, restored joy to him, restored that vigor of his life to him. What was meant to destroy his life actually added to the years thereof. Sometimes God does things like that. Sometimes God, when he allows us to experience trials and difficulties and attacks and hardships and persecutions and all manner of evil spoken against us, instead of actually lessening our life, which is what the world, the flesh, and the devil desire to do to us, those who attack and assail us want to lessen our life upon this earth, that we no longer attack them by our very presence of living for God. Actually, what happens by grace of God, when we persevere it strongly, sometimes it adds to our life, adds joy to our souls, adds strength to all the things that we do, give us a courage in going forward, which is why at this time when our church is so greatly persecuted, so greatly attacked, it shouldn't be a cause for us to be low and to feel like we've lost the battle and everything is woe is me, that everything is over from us. No. What it should be doing within us is give us greater cause. Yes. Now is an opportunity for us as the church, us as men and women who are truly following Christ as Catholics, just like the saints before, to go forward saying, this is the moment where the world is in darkness. How much greater will the light which the Lord gives birth to me, which he lit in my soul on baptism, signified by the candle that was handed to me or to my godparents at that time, can shine all the more brightly in the midst of that darkness. And all the more long because of the joy that the Lord restores unto our youth as we say the priest prays and those prayers at the foot of the altar as he approaches every Mass. So whatever difficulty you're going through or struggle, maybe it's not unto death right now. Just like St. John, who was ready to embrace it, what happened was that that difficulty restored a deeper joy and vigor to his life to live 25 years longer in the midst of that, so that God's word may be fully accomplished in him, even in exile. So to ask the Lord, in whatever difficulty that we're going through, and we as a church are going through grave difficulties at this time, suffering both from those who persecute us without and the wounds which hurt most, those who are persecuting us even within the church, among those who have set over, supposed to guard the church and protect her, who aren't doing the job that they should be doing. Let us ask the Lord to give us that same sort of revigoration, that same sort of joy that St. John the Apostle, St. John the Beloved One, experienced when he himself was cast into the cauldron, where it didn't take anything from it, but rather added to him and gave him the strength that was necessary to glorify God even longer in his life. May all things be to the praise and glory of his most holy name, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.